Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Folk singer Mara Levine says she spent the bulk of her childhood years listening to folk music on the radio with her parents. As an adult, she has become what Christine Labin called one of the best singers of her generation. Her 2019 album, Facets of Folk, charted number one on the Folk Alliance International Folk Charts and had 9 songs in the top 20. These days, she's working on re-releasing some of her earlier music and creating music videos. Mara is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Hi, Mara. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for having me on again. It's great to be here.
It is good to talk to you again. I feel like we've known each other a long time, and we were talking off air, and I'm not sure that we've spoken directly in quite a while, but it feels like we've just been talking. So the wonders of the internet and all of the ways we can stay connected, I guess, is a good thing. And unfortunately, it doesn't allow us to talk as much as we probably would enjoy otherwise. But it's good to talk to you again. How have you been?
Absolutely. Well, it's been I'm okay, but it's been challenging, of course, during the pandemic. And I'm home with my parents, my elderly parents. They have multiple health conditions, so we're having to be still super careful here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. And you are in New Jersey? Is that right?
I'm in Edison, New Jersey. Okay. Thomas Alva Edison, his workshop was here. And in fact, there is the giant tower with the giant light bulb, the Edison Laboratory near Menlo Park.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's cool. So you are working, or you've got a new CD out. Is that correct?
Well, my newest CD was Facets of Folk, and that came out in 2019, and that was right before the pandemic, of course, year before the pandemic. And what I've been doing since the pandemic, since I haven't been able to go, you know, out of the house much or go to the studio, is I'm working with Valerie Smith from Bellbuckle Records, my record label.
Sure,
and
yeah.
We are releasing singles from my previous recordings under the Bellbuckle label, and we're making music videos to go along with them.
That's cool. Okay. We've talked before, and we've done this interview before, or I've done an interview before, and so folks can find that in our library. But just kind of as a brief refresher, you are a song interpreter, not necessarily a songwriter. Explain the difference of what that means.
Sure. Well, songwriters actually write songs, and I don't. So as an interpreter, what I do is I look for really wonderful songs, and then I like to put my own spin on them. So I might do intricate harmony arrangements. If it was done as a solo, I might do it as a duet or with three-part harmony. Or if someone else did it with harmony, I might do it solo. But I really like to come up with some creative harmony arrangements too. And it's not every song that I would want to sing. I listen to lots and lots of songs, and it really has to strike me and, you know, really grab me on first listen to want to add it to my repertoire.
Where do you find your songs? How do you locate the songs that you would like to put your interpretation on?
Well, some of the songs are songs that I loved while growing up. In my house, we listened to folk music regularly. And we listen to Bob Sherman on Woody's Children every weekend. We tape the show. So there is a catalog of most loved songs, like Simon and Garfunkel songs, or songs that Judy Collins sang or that Pete Seeger sang. And then through my work as a musician, I go to a lot of music conferences like IVMA, Folk Alliance, the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance, and you meet a lot of musicians there who are showcasing. And so you exchange music, you exchange CDs, or you're in a showcase and you hear someone sing a fabulous song. And that's basically how I've acquired a number of the songs that are of my contemporaries. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Nancy Cassidy's song, Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I heard her sing it in a showcase at the Folk Alliance Conference. Susan Shan, her song, You Reap What You Sow, which is an absolutely fabulous song. I met her at the Southeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference, and she gave me a couple of her CDs, and that song was on one of those CDs. Mm. So that's kind of how it's worked. Mm-hmm. I'll work with somebody, you know, I've worked with someone as a harmony vocalist, got to learn their repertoire, and there was a really golden gem of a song in there that I said, oh, I would really like to sing that. So that's kind of how I collect. And it's, again, it's the rare song. It really has to grab me to want to add it to the repertoire.
How did the pandemic affect you as an artist?
Well, because, especially in my situation, having my folks here, I have not really been able to go out and do much live.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was isolated from the people I normally play and sing with, also not really able to get together and do pandemic, you know, Zoom concerts, especially the first year,
mm-hmm.
To get together. So I've done a lot of things on Zoom, song circles and open mics where I can, you know, be there. I also have all the tracks to all my recordings that I can sing with, which is great.
Mm.
Not necessarily for a concert, but for doing these types of extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to meet a lot of people and had a lot of nice, you know, potential opportunities there. And then in the second year of the pandemic, we felt comfortable enough to get together in someone's backyard and mm-hmm. videotape concerts, mm-hmm. which then we broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year in 2022, I did some festivals like the Philadelphia Folk Festival, Westerly Folk Festival, and online the San Francisco Folk Festival, and a few indoor concerts in like larger halls where people had, they were, you know, following the COVID protocols.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly it's not anything what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
for anybody, really.
But there are a lot of people who feel comfortable now going out and doing.
Sure, yeah, but I guess I mean the crowds are not quite back like they were, and you know, everybody says it's sort of we're kind of back to normal, but we really aren't. Not as musicians anyway. Not in that field. Yeah.
Exactly. So I pivoted to really to keep getting my music out. What we did was we pivoted from. You know, since I couldn't go out to the recording studio or mm-hmm. really do much of anything that has contact with people, was taking the recordings that I have done and creating these music videos and actually expanding my music to different markets. Because when I released my records, first, second, and third record, strictly to a small group of folk DJs, the folk market.
Right.
And so with Valerie, with her reach, she reaches roots and bluegrass, and also we partnered up with Les Butler from Butler Music Group, who does bluegrass gospel and gospel,
mm-hmm.
gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of the songs we re-released through him, and they were sent out to about 700 stations or programs, and actually got a lot of airplay, and then, of course, making the music videos, which is a little bit of a challenge in and of itself, because how do you do that safely?
Right, right.
But we did. We started with You Reap What You Sow, which was a wonderful song. I mentioned Susan Shan. Well, I had recorded this song first as a single, and it did number one on the folk chart and 22 weeks on the Bluegrass Today Grassicana chart as a single. And then we included it on my last release, and it was number four on the chart there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sent it out to Bluegrass Gospel and Southern Gospel, and it almost charted, I guess, as a brand new person. We got a lot of airplay, probably about at least 50 or 60 stations that we know of played it. And then we did the music video, and that was a challenge because we did this in 2020
mm-hmm.
when nobody really can get together.
Mm-hmm.
So all these wonderful musicians that did the recording with me, I had this roster. I had Molly O'Brien, I had Greg Blake, Bob Harris, Rob Ikes, Mark Schatz, Scott Bestel, and Andy Lefwich. Everybody was at home. And so I contacted all the musicians and said, I'm going to do a video Can you film yourself singing or playing along with your cell phone in this setting from your deck or your living room or wherever you do that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Let me know how much you need. And all of them participated, every one of them. And then how are we going to get together and film was the next big issue. Valerie was, she was in Bellbuckle, Tennessee, and I'm in New Jersey, and I certainly couldn't go there. And at the time, if you wanted to travel to New Jersey, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So that wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So she had to do some business in Maryland, and we found a farm, one of those pick-your-own places, sunflower farm, about 40 minutes from where she was going to be staying. So I drove down from Jersey, and she came in from where she was, and we had the place to ourselves. They let us have it, and it was very reasonable for a few hours in the morning before it opened. And she filmed me, took the footage, and then took all the footage from the musicians, and she put this beautiful video together. And Bluegrass Today debuted it. And through Bluegrass Today, it had like 64,000 Facebook views.
Wow.
Cool. Yes, crazy.
Yeah.
And to date, it's had about 8,500 YouTube views.
Wow.
So I know.
That's awesome.
You know, it is awesome. So, you know, working with Valerie Smith has been really a blessing for me. And even during the pandemic, we have found ways to get my music out to new markets, to new fans who haven't heard this music before. And that was fantastic. And then we did a Christmas video for December 2021 to Bob Franke's Straw Against the Chill. And that was not a live video. We just had all kinds of beautiful images. That was the beautiful story about the nativity. So we collected, or I collected images, and then she put that together for me. And now we just, I just released a third video for Be the Change by Arlen Bennett.
Yeah, and we were talking before the call of about Arlen and himself as an artist, and he's had some struggles with some health struggles, and but writes beautiful songs and has been an amazing trooper to stay in the music industry. Tell me about that song a little bit, and interpreting that as an artist.
Absolutely. Should I mention how I came to select the song and how
Absolutely.
I know Arlen?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Arlen, and again, I want to hear your connection, but we kind of have a long-term connection with him back in the old days of Folk Alliance years ago, and it's neat that you've kept that relationship with him.
So I was living in northeastern Pennsylvania, and my sister, still in New Jersey, a big country western dancing fan, and she used to go country western dancing to this club called the Colorado Cafe, and Arlen was a huge country western dancing fan. So they met, and she found out that he was also a musician, a folk musician, and suggested, oh, you guys should meet. And of course, I was living in Pennsylvania, that's not going to happen, I said. But then eventually in 2000 I moved back to New Jersey. And then my sister said, well, okay, you don't have an excuse. She connected us, and we wound up working on some music projects together. And then he had a CD release for his Summer's Voice album that was in 2007. And Be the Change was one of the songs on the Summer's Voice album. And it's one of those songs that just grabbed me right away. It's a beautiful song. And for me, songs that have a beautiful melody, a good message, a catchy chorus that you want to sing along with. It had all the elements. And so I asked for permission to sing it, which he said yes.
Yeah.
And then I included it because my album Facets of Folk, which I released in 2019, that album basically was a collection of albums of songs of social conscience in a way. And Be the Change was absolutely perfect. It's really about being a positive force for change, to make a positive difference in the world through nonviolent means. So voting and, yeah, I guess some protesting would be okay, and volunteer work and all those things. And so this song, the first verse is about Rosa Parks. The second verse is about Gandhi. Even though their names aren't mentioned, it's very clear from the description who they are. And so I felt it was so appropriate to include in the project. And then decided to release it right before Election Day, so it would be encouraging people to vote.
Yeah.
So there's even images in the video of people voting, and I was able to find some fantastic stock images and footage in doing my research for the video, and I actually was able to, you know, license for $10 the mugshot of Rosa Parks when she was arrested.
Oh, wow.
There's a mugshot, and that's from Montgomery. I think it's Montgomery. The Montgomery County Probate Office has the license. You know, you can license that directly from them. And so I did. So that shot is in there. I found wonderful archival footage of Martin Luther King and the Freedom Riders and the bus boycott, the bus actions. And then I found great archival footage of Gandhi to use for the second verse. And I'm in Edison, New Jersey, 35 minutes away from me in Newark, downtown Newark, is a beautiful statue of Rosa Parks seated on a bus bench with a plaque with the saying.
Mm.
And I went down on a national holiday when there was nobody there. And I set up my cameras and I filmed myself singing with the statue.
Oh, wow.
And there was another statue of Gandhi nearby, and I went there, but that footage didn't come out well, so we used the stock footage, which I think was even better.
Uh-huh.
And we found stock footage of more contemporary things as well that kind of reflect the theme of the song. And the challenge on this one, again, was I wanted to have the women who recorded with me, but we needed to be safe. And so we thought we'll film outside, but it rained the day we were all going to get together. So the woman who did the videography for me, her name is Efrat Shapira, she set up a room in her house like with a green screen, and she had us come one at a time, so we weren't all together singing together.
Mm.
And she had a mask on, and she had a fan and air purifier and the window open, and we each sang against the green screen in different poses. And then we took all the stock footage that we collected, and she was able to put us all together as if we were standing next to each other and have us in front of all the footage that was running as we were singing, right?
Wow.
She did a really beautiful job putting it together. And so we sent that out for Election Day. But I think thematically, that song works any time of year, any day, and certainly for things like Martin Luther King's birthday or Black History Month or anything like that. But the message is so positive and powerful, and I think it's something that anyone would enjoy seeing this video. It's really a beautiful video.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that. And so that's kind of the latest video, and now I'm working on a new video.
And the new one will be, can you share the title? What are you working on?
I can. Yes. The song is called Tree of Life, and it's written by Eric Peltonini. And it was written for a musical about women in the Midwest in the 1800s. And the song, first two verses of the song is all quilting blocks, quilting patterns. And so March, I'm trying to get it done for March. I hope I can, but it's taking me a while to get all the materials together.
Mm-hmm.
So March is National Quilting Month. And the 18th of March is National Quilting Day. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure if I'm going to have it all together. I'm trying, but
there's
a lot of research that has to be done.
That's cool.
And collecting things. And I actually found the quilting blocks on, like, just looking for quilting blocks online that are the quilting blocks from the song. And then working on with a graphic artist and myself to convert them so that it's not somebody else's design. It's our own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So working on those. So that's pretty exciting. And that song had Ed Trickett playing hammer dulcimer. And unfortunately, Ed passed away last year.
Mm.
But the beautiful story about this is I had met Ed through a mutual friend. And he was a member of a group called Bach, Muir, and Trickett, which are one of the original, you know, folk groups from back when, the 50s, 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the first recording of this song. And I asked him if he would come and play hammer dulcimer on the recording.
Mm.
did not play hammer dulcimer on their recording, just guitar. So I actually got Ed Trickett, who was, you know, the first person to ever record it with his group, to play hammer dulcimer.
That's cool.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So that's kind of what I'm working on. And I'm also obtaining licenses. I just about done getting, securing licenses for three of the three PsyCon songs that I recorded. And I'll touch base with other songwriters that I've recorded. I don't know about getting something like Paul Simon. I think that would be exorbitant for the fees. But I have a lot of friends that I've recorded. So for the next period of time, until things get quote unquote normal, I'm going to continue to work on releasing videos.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah. I am neither a songwriter or a song interpreter, but I understand songwriting from the sense that I have an idea. I sit down with my guitar and I come up with some lyrics and some melodies. It's my song. And that's one side of it. It sounds like as a song interpreter, there's so much more work involved because you are borrowing somebody else's original material and then you're adding your own interpretations into that. Am I correct in assuming that there is a lot of legwork involved in trying to put these pieces together because it isn't originally from your pen?
That's interesting. I mean, when someone sings the work of others, there's two ways to go about it. One is to be a cover artist, what you try to do is duplicate exactly what the original artist did, you know, cover bands, tribute bands. The other is, as an interpreter, to come up with your own creative arrangements. And I think it depends on how you work, what your process is. Some people go into the studio with a live band. You know, they maybe work out some arrangements and go into the studio. And I tend to work it out in the studio. I kind of, you know, have a vision of what I want, and I'll sit with, you know, Bob Harris was my co-producer and guitarist, and first do a lead vocal with the guitar and get the tempo, just get everything the way I want it. And the next thing I'll do is work on the harmony arrangements. So I work backwards. A lot of people will put all the instruments down first and then do the vocals, but I do the lead vocal first, then I decide what I want to do with the harmony arrangements, and that sometimes can take a lot of work. Figure out different creative arrangements. And I would direct people to listen to Leaves That Are Green by Paul Simon, which is, it is up on my website too. That's www.maralevine.com or my SoundCloud, and listen to the intricate different, you know, twists and turns that I would put on that. And I did some of that work with Bob and some with my friend Stuart Marcus from Gathering Time. And so some of the songs are very multi-track and they take a long time and were expensive for me because I do it track by track.
Right.
I think Straw Against the Chill, when I did that, I probably had at least 12 vocal tracks on it. And that's crazy, right?
Yeah. How would you do that live? Do you have a track that includes most of the instrumentation and then you perform your part live?
So I have that, but I don't use that often. You know, in normal times, most people don't really want to hear you performing with tracks necessarily in a concert. Occasionally, like a library or nursing home, I do something like that. But, for example, at the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference, I was selected for a showcase by Ron Olesko from WFDU. It was called the Folk DJ Showcase, where they showcase, you know, new artists. And this was years ago already. And I gathered 12 musicians.
Oh, cool.
And Bob, you know, as well as getting the backing tracks, I have him make harmony tracks for each of the parts on a recording, so that if I want to get together a group of people, or if I'm traveling and my people aren't coming with me, I can send the people I'm going to work with, this is your part. We did this two or three times.
Yeah.
I assembled a group of 12 musicians at NRFA. Sent them all their parts, and they got on stage with me, and we did the song, and it went over just fabulous. And then I did it once on Gene Shea's radio show too. I got a group of musicians together to go on Gene Shea and do it. But then if I perform with Gathering Time, there are three band members besides me, and they all sing. So I've been able to distill the harmony arrangements for some of these songs to the basic four parts, where we can pretty much still recreate those sounds.
That's awesome. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, they're fabulous, and we can recreate those sounds. And that's what gives me more pleasure. I don't really prefer to go out, you know, and sing solo. I don't play an instrument, number one. But number two, I love the sound of harmony. Mm. I love it. Mm. So I would prefer to work with a group, and I've been teaming up with Gathering Time now. It's got to be 12 or 13 years where we book shows together, and they will support me in my half of the show, and you get you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 part harmony, and the intricate arrangements from my albums are produced live, and they are on the last two of my albums, 4 or 5 songs on each album.
Okay. That's
so
cool.
you can really get that. And it was interesting because at the time, at the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance conference, one of the DJs was like, yeah, it's great, but how are you going to do it live? Well, I surprised them all because I'm able to, do that live, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Cool. Well, thank you, Mara. I've enjoyed reconnecting and catching up on what's been going on. And the videos are awesome, and I hope you get to get some more of those out, and wish you the best with all of it. And hope you get to get back out when it's appropriate and soon.
Well, I am actually having a concert, Princeton Folk Music Society, and that's going to be May 19th. And we booked this a long time ago.
Yeah.
A co-bill with my friends Gathering Time. And I've wanted to play the Princeton Folk Music Society for a long time.
Very cool.
So they have COVID protocols in place, and I might even wear a mask when singing. We'll see. And it's a large hall.
Yeah.
So knock wood.
Yeah.
That's one place that people can see me. And also, but I don't think the interview will be up then, but March 31st, I'm doing a song. We're going to actually show the video for Be the Change for the Labor Heritage Organization for a women's concert.
Yeah, good.
Online.
Yeah.
But
well,
thank you, Greg. I mean, I really appreciate all that you do to support the artist.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy getting to know you guys, and I'm not a musician, but I feel like I'm part of you guys when we get to do stuff like this, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and you take care and stay safe.
You too.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.